BlakeRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Looking older and more wicked than ever.
I knew he wouldn't disappoint us.
Mace.
This show reminds me of a 25-cent cigar.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Because it's cheap and it stinks.
Omega.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Well, that sure made us LOL.
Laugh out loud?
No. Lose our leg.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T. And you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you big dick. Suck it!
I'm sad alone in a boggy marsh, totally motionless except for her heart. Mud flowed up in the lump's pajamas. She totally confused all the passing piranhas. She's lump, she's lump, she's in my head. She's lump, she's lump, she's lump, she might be dead.
Apparently no one's going.
Maybe. What happened to Omega?
He's supposed to be the dude doing the intro, and he's not doing the intro. What the hell? Something's off.
I don't know.
He must be, you know, sneezing out his, you know, entire insides at this point.
Maybe he's blowing his nose.
Maybe he is. I guess I'm doing it. Welcome everybody to Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Joining us as always, Mace.
I am not having a good week at all.
Wow, you do sound different.
Yeah, this is what happens when you don't do a sound check, Rock.
Don't blame me.
I came to you fucking days ago to check this shit and make sure everything was configured, but no, you were too busy.
I was dealing with stuff, but we can hear you. That's the good thing. We can actually hear you, but you sound different, that's all.
Yep, but, hold on. Who do I sound like?
It's Omega! No,
yes,
that was just Mace.
I went out and I got a new microphone because the headset one was causing issues, and I thought, fuck it, time for an upgrade for like $5. So the whole Stantler and Waldorf thing at the beginning of the show was correct. Cheap.
Eventually joining the program will be Omega.
That was he's probably making new colors again.
Finished throwing up.
And as always, the cranky Canadian, Tim Stein.
Welcome to Nazi Canada, eh? Oh, wait, no, that was a couple of intros ago. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Back after a one-week hiatus, thanks to the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I have never seen a worse play call near the end of a game.
Don't remind me.
I was going to say, that was the most depressing Super Bowl ever because of the commercials, but besides
the point. Yeah, the commercials weren't all that good this year. Mind you, very shocked at Katy Perry and the halftime show.
You were shocked? Why were you shocked?
They brought out Missy Elliott. Where the fuck was she hiding?
The 90s. She was hiding in the 90s. It was tremendous. Great halftime show.
Oh, hell yeah.
No controversy.
I want that lion.
Yeah. There was no controversy at all, you know, after the game about Missy Elliott giving the world a finger when she said, you know, when she yelled at Super Bowl.
Eh. To be honest, most of Twitter was treating her like she was a new and up-and-coming artist. So for those of us who actually remember, like, the 90s and early 2000s, remember she was a thing.
To a lot of people on Twitter, she is. Just point that out.
Bloody kid.
Oh, that just reminds me of...
It's better than thinking Paul McCartney was someone new.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up right when I was right in the middle of talking about it. Yeah. What, did he do a song with Kanye West?
Yeah.
And all these guys, I don't know who this Paul McCartney is, but Kanye West will make his career. What the fuck? I read that on Twitter. I read that on Twitter. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
By the way, am I going to get Mr. Q?
I had an incident.
Told you he was puking.
So which color did you invent this time?
It wasn't my illness.
It was Technicolor.
Rainbow snot, you.
I could say something, but that would even gross him out, so I'll be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the one and only, the be-all, the end-all, the Omega.
My nose is leaking something I refer to as blurple.
Blurple?
Blurple. It's kind of blue, it's kind of purple.
Okay, if that's coming out of your nose, see a doctor.
I like how Tim's telling someone to go see a doctor. Just saying.
All right.
Yeah,
now.
Just remember, Tim, while for you and me, it's this thing called free healthcare where we can actually go to the doctor at any time.
Tim,
for someone like Omega, it costs money.
Tim, yeah, but he's referring to the fact that I'm so stubborn I refuse to go see a doctor for free.
Even when you think your appendix might burst.
Well, if it would burst, I would have gone and gotten it fixed, wouldn't I?
You people forget I'm working on YouTube money, so I can't afford to see Dr. Scholes right now. Meanwhile,
sorry.
It's not my illness that was the incident. Leave it at that.
Oh, how are Mom and Dad doing?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, got it. Nailed it!
I thought it was time to do something with a Twinkie, but, you know, we're just going to get Twinkies out of it.
Apparently not. Anyway, let's not piss off Omega too much and try to get through the show.
You're leading the ship, Tim, so lead away.
I'm just about to, as soon as I stop laughing. Just, like, back off, relax, Grandma. Yeah, well, we might as well just dive right into it because we're going to fire through this thing as quickly as possible. Guys, we really don't have much of anything to talk about tonight. Not a hell of a lot has happened. The biggest news of the past 2 weeks was Rob being in danger of getting canceled for the first time in who knows how long. Practically forever. And that's, you know, the biggest news, and it's scary. They're doing, like, the interviews and the replay from the pay-per-view, and they got the highest ratings since this past summer.
And somebody wanted to cancel the show? Gee, they must have been watching for the past 3 months.
There you go, yeah.
Well, when you tune in and you go, hey, we're showing the two reasons that people bought the Royal Rumble for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to tune in.
There you go. So, yeah, let's just dive right in with our win and fail for the past, however long. And we'll start with Mace because we'll make it each time.
I got two wins and two fails this week, but so it's sort of like weird.
1A and 1B.
Yeah, pretty much. Win A would be Dean Ambrose interrupting Curtis Axel when he was complaining about not entering the Royal Rumble and then saying, there, you're eliminated. I thought that was hilarious.
That was priceless. That was good.
Axelmania, trending worldwide?
No.
I'm sorry, I saw Pizzagate trending before Axelmania.
Yeah, no, okay, that was good. That was quite hilarious. That was very. What's your other win?
My other one goes to my cable provider, Foxtel, for dropping the feed in the middle of the Divas match this week.
That's a win? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it plays into the secondary file when we get around to it.
Okay.
Well, it'll make sense.
There you go. Omega, what's your win for, well, 2 weeks, I guess, actually.
2 weeks. If my case would probably be the start of Sandow and Miz's separation.
Okay, a long time coming.
Honestly, it really hasn't been. It's kind of developed very gradually, and every now and then it's taken another kind of step. I've actually liked the pacing behind how long this has been going on.
So, in your opinion, it feels a lot more organic than forced.
Yeah, I mean, it's an inevitable thing that the two would split. You could see that as soon as Sandow, and I will not call him Mizdow. as soon as Sandow started getting a better pop, as soon as people started taking to him, you knew, oh no, they got a split.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know, seeing him now is the beginning of it being, okay, you're just a personal assistant now. So all of a sudden, because I like the vignettes they've been doing with people coming up to Miz like he's a big star and then going, yeah, get the fuck out of the way. Hi, Damien. I'm a big fan.
That whole thing, it's just got some really good nuances to the entire storyline.
That's the thing I've liked so much is, like, they could have shoved all this out in about 2 months, but they didn't. It's grown so well.
Yep.
I actually like the whole thing of the, I guess you call it a degradement of Sandow from stunt double to personal assistant, like it's some sort of punishment.
Like it's a demotion.
Yeah.
Well, the kicker with that one is immediately after he's been downgraded to a personal assistant, he's still trying to be the stunt double.
Well, it's like when they're in tag matches and they keep faking out the tag to Sandow, they keep faking letting him into the match. It's the same way. It's like they know people want to see him do his thing. They want to see him get a little bit of spotlight. And here is Miz coming up saying, look, that thing you've been doing that everyone loves, stop it.
Yeah. I always got a kick out of the Miz deliberately misinterpreting the crowd chants. Miz now? You've got Miz now. I'm right here. You know? Okay, good.
Oh, it was a great play to his ego.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Well, my win for the week is Paul Heyman. Well, for the 2 weeks, Paul Heyman. Overall, generally, for the past 12 months, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, but putting Heyman as a win is a given nowadays. We're trying to find a challenge here.
Yeah, well, there's no challenge with this one. Did you guys catch Paul Heyman on the WWE Network?
No, because it was an American news story, and I don't give a flying fuck about it.
Oh, jeez, I tell you right now, Paul Heyman. I'm agreeing with everybody on Twitter. Paul Heyman should be given a weekly show on the network. The guy is just awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, Heyman wouldn't go for that, though. He's one of these guys that doesn't like to stagnate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he does something like this once every now and again, that means it's more worthwhile to him and to the audience to actually hear what he's got to say. If he was saying it every week...
Yeah.
Then it just becomes mundane, it becomes boring, and it stagnates, and that's not what the guy does.
Yeah, no, I'm not disputing that. And it's the fact that basically it wants, you know, it's got me wanting more is what the real gem in this whole thing is. When you know it's not going to happen, then he's not going to be on every week doing the same damn thing. Only with different, different people each time. But just so epic that, I want him on every week. I know, don't do it, but this is, you know, what I'm saying. So, yeah. But that's my one for the week. What's your fail, Mace?
Well, just like my win, I've got two fails.
What's your first one?
The first one I'll give you feed into the second win that I had, which was Foxtel fucking up the feed.
Uh-huh.
The fail that goes in line with this is the Bellas on commentary. My ears were bleeding from Nikki screeching, and I just got so sick of Bree sitting there going, Nikki. Yes, Nikki. Whatever you say, Nikki. It's like, what the fuck? Have a personality of your own, bitch. We know you fucking have one. You displayed it during the feud. Where the fuck did that go?
Out the window.
Pretty much. Okay. And my other fail for this week is Triple H opening Raw again.
Get used to it. It's going to happen for a while.
Yeah, I know, but you know, as Omega said when we were watching Raw last week, they should just open up Raw with King of Kings and just go straight into the promo. Don't even bother doing a cold open or anything anymore, because basically Triple H's theme music is becoming Raw's theme music.
Pretty much. It does seem like that from time to time, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Triple H, but cancel NFL Network was not funny.
You're right. That was a bit of a fail there at an attempt at humor.
It was cheap and petty is what it was.
Yeah, it was.
Just like most Patriot fans, huh?
Oh, boom. Yeah, all right. Omega, your fail.
A fail that might go on for a few more weeks. Booking Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. This gives me such a fucking headache.
Oh, please do expand on this.
Like, okay, Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan have a great match on Raw. Like, they put on an outstanding, you know, main event for the show.
Yep.
And they put Daniel Bryan over, and now he's going to go face Roman Reigns at Fastlane, and the winner gets to go on to WrestleMania 31, and on one hand, it seems like kind of an escape button for WWE, but at the same time, we know they really don't want to have Daniel Bryan fans hijacking their plans 2 years in a row. I honestly see this as a no-win scenario.
Well, they painted themselves into the corner.
Well, yeah. Well, you have it booked in a way that someone backstage thinks that Roman Reigns beating Daniel Bryan will make the fans believe that he can main event WrestleMania. As a heel, yes. It will sound like Bret versus Austin in the main event if that's exactly how it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same corner, you have in the opposite corner, you have Daniel Bryan versus, if he ends up winning, they end up pulling a drag shoe and go, yeah, well, okay, we'll go do this. You've basically given the fans carte blanche to tell the WWE whatever they want.
Pretty much.
WWE doesn't listen to the fans in the first place, but fans should not have total 100% control either.
Fans should never have control over the product.
They should have an influence, but not a control.
Well, speaking as a booker, you want to give them the illusion of influence without actually giving them real influence. Always leave them wanting more and never give them everything they want.
Yeah, but you still give some of what they want. Thus, there is an influence to what you're putting out.
Well, yeah, you're influencing them by doing that, which is a whole, you know, great.
But why are you making the decision to do it?
Conversation. You do it ahead of time. If you're smart enough, you can tell which way the crowd's going to go long before anything ever takes place. You figure this, like, sure, the huge massive pop for Roman and then the instantaneous hate heat from the Philly crowd. That something like that is a little bit unanticipated. But what if they had planned
Hold on, Tim. They knew it going in. It's been talked about for 2 months that Philly was going to boo. So they should have known, and they did know.
Okay, now, to my point before I was so rudely interrupted, let's just say that their intention all along was to pit Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns because they want to turn Roman Reigns heel, and they figure this will work great, especially if he's going to get booed like we figure he's going to.
Except they don't want him as a heel. They want him as the next big face.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you watch the new opening of Raw and tell me that that's not the plan.
Yeah, no kidding. Go ahead, Mix. You're going to say something.
Well, the whole thing behind Brian Reigns from most recent reports has been that Brian, despite his size, is a very physical opponent to go up against. And this is more of a training match for Reigns for when he goes up against Lesnar at Mania.
Yeah.
You know, win, loss, it doesn't matter. They couldn't give a shit right now. They have a plan. They are going to enact the plan. So now February is just training central. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a look at the matches that they've got lined up for Fastlane so far. It's 90% of the matches that we've heard were going to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Just
so if any of them actually play through to WrestleMania, February is nothing but a training ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it's always been with February. The last pay-per-view going into your showcase.
But when you're doing things like Cena and Rusev, which they'll actually get to put on in the ring, and then go to replay it at Mania, people aren't going to want to see that.
No.
Triple H and Sting, as much as they're promoting it for Fastlane, I can guarantee it's not going to happen at Fastlane.
They're going to swerve the audience.
Yeah, they're going to swerve the audience something shocking for that.
They're not promoting a match.
It's just a face-to-face showdown to set up the match at WrestleMania, which, don't forget, everybody, I told you last summer was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm taking credit, goddamn.
The Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan thing is just, it's exactly what it is. It is training Reigns to go up against a very physical opponent in Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. They know that they've locked themselves into their course. They know this. And you reckon the reaction in Philly was negative? Wait until Reigns goes over clean on Bryan.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I'm predicting that will not happen. It will not be a clean win.
Oh, it'll be clean. It will be clean. They have to keep Roman as strong as possible when going up against Lesnar, and that means putting him over clean.
Hold on, Mace. Then why did he lose to the Big Show?
Because nobody gives a shit about the Big Show.
But he lost to the Big Show in less than 5 minutes.
Because authority is mean. Boo.
Yes, boo this man. He works for the authority. Boo.
We have to remind you, the authority is bad.
Must I remind you guys that Rock will pipe up and throw this shit in here just to basically stir shit?
Oh, I know this, but...
No. Okay.
Here's the thing, Rock, thank you for actually bringing up Big Show, because that reminded me of something that I had a problem with on Monday night. If they're trying to book Reigns to be this domineering force that has a chance of even, you know, doing any damage to Lesnar, why the fuck can't he take out the Big Show in less than 30 seconds?
That's been my point for a month.
Yeah, if the Big Show is taking his Superman punch and stumbling, what fucking chance does that have to do against Lesnar? That'll be like a fly landing on Lesnar's shoulder. You know.
But his ribs are broken.
Yeah, I think he's going to live and die by the spear at WrestleMania against Lesnar.
Yeah, okay, sure. Lesnar's got a broken rib. You saw what happened after he broke the rib, right? He still demolished Cena and Rollins like they were fucking nothing.
Well, he totally demolished Rollins. I don't think Cena was involved in the match after that, was he?
No, he took a Phoenix Splash and basically went to sleep for the rest of it.
Failed. Yeah.
So.
But, you know, it's they need to make Roman look like a credible threat, yet he's still having issues with a guy like the Big Show, which makes absolutely no sense.
Because if you remember a year ago at the Royal Rumble, Big Show got destroyed by Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes.
And if Lesnar can break the Big Show in 5 minutes, why can't Reigns?
Exactly. They're booking him as an underdog when he should be booked as, I don't know, a powerhouse?
This match, if they want to do it properly, is supposed to be the irresistible force meets the immovable object.
But that's not what they're booking.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Look at
what they should be booking.
Look at the way they have booked for literally the last 3 or 4 years now. No one is allowed to be dominant on the roster anymore. Everyone is even. You have
what's your name, John Cena?
Even he is even right now.
I know. I'm being a dick.
Everyone is booked so that sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. Nobody is, unless it's their gimmick like Rusev, nobody is strictly dominant.
And even him.
Lesnar.
Gimmick.
Even Rusev is losing by countouts.
Countouts, by disqualifications. They're getting off on technicalities. Look at your Intercontinental Champion. How many wins do Intercontinental Champions get? Like, when they hold that belt, they can't get a 3 count to save their life. Because everyone has to look good against the Intercontinental Champion to show, they might be up to something. They might be in line for a shot. They might be a threat to the title.
Which is, as usual, stupid booking, because the IC champ is supposed to be the one who looks strong.
Champions are supposed to look strong. Period.
Agreed. And especially mid-card guys who are meant to be your next main eventers, but, that went out in the 90s.
So, extremely good pick for your fail this week, Omega.
Apparently.
Yeah. My fail for the week? Basically, it's the whole setup with the matches between Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and Roman for the number one contendership. That sounds familiar. That was independently picked by me without any input from you all week, and I wrote that down at 6 p.m. local time, my time, this evening. I actually wrote that down in my notes as my fail.
Did you not to make sure it was like, here's the,
He needed to make sure he had to look at the clock first and then write down the time, then write down what the fail was. But by the way, I just want to get a general idea of this. Like, we haven't got this sitting here on the run sheet this week. Who caught the Stone Cold podcast after Raw?
Me.
Tim?
I still haven't seen the damn thing. No spoilers or I'll get pissed off at you.
Well, it's been more than 3 hours, more than 24 hours, so shut the fuck up.
Hey, hold on.
Spoiler alert!
There you go.
Okay, keep that handy, because we're going to need it.
Omega, since you watched it,
mm-hmm.
What did you think about the way the entire thing was structured?
It felt like it was structured similar to the Vince one. Outside of not as many like road stories as Vince had, which I thought was probably the best part.
And you heard Hunter afterwards; he wanted to tell more road stories.
Yeah, it felt well. I would say on Austin's end, it felt like he asked a lot of things that he knew would be on fans' minds, but what he got were very cherry picked. Very careful answers.
Yeah, you could almost smell the script approval on this one.
Just about.
I'm not saying it's more script approval. It's just like I'm sure they got a list of questions beforehand.
No, yeah, but so like when you compare this to the Vince one, I think you can see a big difference between talking to the boss and talking to an employee. Like, there was a clear divide. Like, Vince could get away with saying whatever the fuck he wanted because he was the man that, at the end of the day, took all the bullshit. Triple H, if he said the wrong thing, Vince would have jumped down his throat.
And you could tell Hunter was tempted to blame Vince for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That meme came out so quickly.
Yeah. It was getting there. You're talking the difference between the boss and the guy who is trying to be the boss. Where someone who can get away with literally anything they want on any part of the company they want versus someone who has to look out for his future.
Yeah, like I ended up turning it off at one point. I can't remember exactly. It was not long after they mentioned the whole China thing.
By the way, we have to thank Steve Austin for making China relevant for a week. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, that's been great.
He's made China relevant enough that she did a interview with Vince Russo that is going to, and I quote, drop immediately following Raw tomorrow night. Gosh, where she addresses what Hunter says about what Hunter said about.
I was really amused by that answer regarding China, where it's the most careful way I've ever heard of saying we can't make a porn star part of the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sonny.
That happened.
That's not a porn star.
She's not a porn star. She's a cam star.
That's a webcam whore.
Yeah.
Here's the thing there. I like how the whole thing has been, we can't put China in there because of, her past and this, like what she did after the WWE and everything. Yet you've got Sonny in there. You've got Mike Tyson in there.
It really had nothing to do with that, right?
Pete Rose is in there. There are some real controversial names in that Hall of Fame, yet China is where you draw the line.
Draw the line at your ex-girlfriend. And that is the most convenient of excuses ever. Oh, well, she's, been in porn movies, so we can't associate her with WWE family entertainment.
Yet it won't stop them inducting X-Pac one day, you watch.
I don't know if X-Pac is ever noteworthy enough. Maybe as, part of DX, but not Shawn.
That's what I mean. He wouldn't be in there as X-Pac or as Shawn Waltman. He'd be in there as DX as a collective.
Yeah. No, you're forgetting. You're forgetting his run as the 1-2-3 kid. It was amazing.
Everyone's forgetting his run as the 1-2-3 kid.
Even Shawn Waltman would forget his run as the 1-2-3 kid.
Put Razor Ramon in a diaper. That's all I remember.
I know. 1-2-3 kid was the one in the diaper.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I watched that match earlier today.
I forget who was face heel at the time.
I'll be dead honest. The only thing I can remember two things about his stint as 1-2-3 kid. One was going over Razor Ramon in his debut, and the other was actually his feud with Jeff Jarrett, which was actually quite good.
It wasn't his debut, though.
Was it?
No. He'd been building up to that point.
Yeah.
That was his first major win.
Yeah, first win, but it wasn't his debut.
But yeah, anyway, the whole Triple H interview thing, I got to the point where it's like, okay, I can only take so much corporate garbage from him. Like, he was dancing and doing it quite well, to be honest.
To left feet
but
still.
But at the same time, it was like, well, I was hoping for a lot more hardball questions from Austin, like he did with Vince. And then it sort of came back that, okay, yeah, Triple H is sort of dancing around and playing the nice political guy. Especially when he says, I have no issues with CM Punk.
I call bullshit.
Yeah, I can smell it.
It sounded like a typical Steve Austin podcast rather than the Vince McMahon special.
Next up, Stephanie. Come on, hurry up. Hurry up, Steve.
So when do you think DX is getting inducted?
2 years.
Yeah, about 2-3 years.
You'll give it that long, huh?
It's got to be it's got to be well after the Authority, so people can start to like Triple H again. And next year is going to be reserved for either Sting or Undertaker.
Where's the Hall of Fame this year?
Probably where WrestleMania is.
Yeah, it's in San Jose. San Jose.
Okay. So when's the next time they're going to be in Atlanta just to really screw people over?
For WrestleMania?
Do the Hall of Fame in Atlanta and induct DX.
Well,
the invasion of WCW is complete.
Atlanta would have to get WrestleMania again. That's how you tie it together.
WrestleMania 32, they induct Ted Turner.
Oh, that would be funny.
I'm not saying it's bad. He kind of deserves it.
That is a great idea. You know, Ted Turner literally does deserve it for what he did with WCW for the longest time.
Yeah, but that would mean actually acknowledging WCW did anything good, and we all know the WWE hates that.
Yeah, but at least, no, still the WWE has acknowledged that WCW gave them a run for the money and made them, you know, better.
Yeah, even if they do tout that, oh, well, we beat them in the end, and we beat them bad at the end, they still do it, they're still very public that, yeah, they were kicking our ass for a while. You know, and as long as WWE's been around, it's the only company that's been able to say that.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, that would be awesome to hear Ted Turner being the next Hall of Fame inductee tomorrow night.
I reckon we're getting our token black man tomorrow night, considering February is Black History Month.
I was thinking that we'll probably get an African-American, as they say, inducted. But the question is, you know, who's it going to be?
Ice Train.
Has you Coco actually going yet?
You actually reference Ice Train in 2015.
You went with you were talking about WCW, so I went with Ice Train.
You went with Ice. Okay, you have the entire WCW roster to pick from. You went with Ice Train.
Could have said Stevie Ryan.
You could have said Harlem Heat.
But Booker's already in. You're not going to make Booker T a two-time Hall of Famer, are you?
Hey, they put in Ric Flair twice.
Are you really comparing Booker T and Ric Flair?
Yeah, come on. Harlem, can you compare Harlem Heat to the Four Horsemen?
Not overly.
Not really, no.
To be honest, I just want Harlem Heat in there just so it gives him an excuse to play that Booker T promo where he calls Hulk Hogan the nigger.
They did for Booker T's, but they cut it short. They knew what they were doing. They knew people knew that clip, but they knew they couldn't play the part they know it for.
That goddamn clip caused Booker T to hang up on me. And it wasn't even my idea to play the stupid thing. And as a matter of fact, I was against it the entire week when it was first brought. Oh, we're going to play this clip. You dumb. No. Yeah, we're going to play. No. Yeah, we're going to play. No, I don't want to play.
I think I asked him off air about that clip.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember one of our biggest things, because this was when I was doing that show on Tuesday nights, when we had him on as a guest. And we were talking, you know, WrestleMania and WCW and the supermarket brawl with Austin. I think off the air I asked him about that clip. Because I knew I wasn't going to bring it up on the air because that's something you don't really do.
Yeah, well, it was done.
That's a stupid idea.
It was very dumb.
But,
what did he tell you off the air?
He just said he realized... like a split second later that, oh shit, I fucked up. Like he did it on autopilot, and then when he realized what he had done, which is why you see straight away he turns away from the camera, puts his head in his hands.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, I'm gonna get in trouble for this.
It was fucking funny.
He just regretted it, but he was on autopilot and he just went to the vernacular that he was used to speaking it. So.
But at the same time, you gotta admit, that was one of the best promos you ever heard him give.
Oh, yeah. Now I was using it in reference for the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, did you get any flack from it?
Not really. Like, my group of friends were all pretty... we don't really take that stuff too seriously. Like, we do a lot of shit talking on the day.
Yeah.
And... it was really funny considering, like, most of our table, we had 13 people rock up for our group, and it was, like, 8 of us were... No, it was, 11 of us were Seattle fans, and the other two were Patriots fans.
Well, those other two, boo.
Yeah, they... there was quite often where they were like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And that whole play happened, and they were like, yay! It's like, oh, fuck you assholes.
Smug bastard, shut up. Who are you calling smug? The entire game?
Nah, the thing was, there wasn't even any gloating or anything. It was like, Patriots won, but it was a good game, and we've had a good day. So
that was
the general go around from the Patriots fans. And yeah. They weren't rubbing faces in it. They were just saying it was a good game. You guys fucked up in the end, and it worked out to our advantage.
Yeah, definitely not American fans.
No.
And if any American takes offense to what I just said, well, pay attention to people who cheer for teams in your country for whatever sport.
But anyway, Hall of Fame. And, we got any other ideas?
I'm kind of stumped. I haven't got a clue. I wouldn't know who to go for.
I reckon there's probably just going to be somebody obscure at this point because we've had the your headliner named. Then you've got your celebrity announcement. Now's your who the fuck is that announcement?
Yeah.
And then you'll get your fill-ins over the next couple.
Yeah, there was a local one they wanted to induct.
Yeah, which is the what the fuck announcement.
Yeah.
Announcement. Who the fuck is that?
Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens would be the local one.
Okay.
Yeah. But hey, how about just for the hell of it, put Ernest the Cat Miller in there.
No.
If we're going to go for that, I'd rather Teddy Long.
You know what? I'm surprised Teddy Long's not in there. He should be.
He should be for all the years of service as a referee and a general manager.
Referee, manager.
Yeah, the dude's done a lot for that company.
Yeah, he's like really one of the longest running characters they had for a long time.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. You know,
plus
like,
tag team matches.
If they're going to pander to Black History Month, then I can't think of anybody better at the moment, really, than Teddy. But I can't think of anybody better than Teddy, whether or not it's Black History Month or not, anyway.
But, sure.
Yeah. But anyway, that being said, let's take our first time out of the evening, guys. Everybody! Yeah, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Get on Twitter, let everybody know that we're live. Just tell them to come to wildtalkradio.com and get into the chat room. You can interact with us. The odds are extremely good that we're going to be opening up the phone lines. Anywhere in North America, you can call by telephone. Anywhere around the world, you'll be able to call by Skype. We'll drop the number for you on the other side of the break. So get your comments or questions ready, and we'll let you know when it's time to call in. We'll be back right after this.
You know me well from nightmares of a lonely cell. My only hell was since when y'all niggas know me to fail. Fuck nah, we all my niggas with the rubber grips. Bust shots, and if you with me, mama, rubber your tits and whatnot. I'm from the school of the hard knocks. We must not let outsiders violate our blocks. And my plot is stick up the world and split it 50-50. Uh-huh, let's take the dough and stay real jiggy. Uh-huh, sip the Chris and get pissy. Flow infinitely like the memory of my nigga Biggie. Baby, you know it's hell when I...
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's Boots to Asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! John! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
If you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down to the Dustin Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, this is Chris Kacko, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Prejudice. Want a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it go. Free your mind.
No one likes to hit their cues. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So, Omega. Or Mace. Or Tim.
What, Rock?
I don't know. Someone should talk. This is your shows.
Well, usually Tim is the one to bring us back and do all that type of stuff, but he's probably out smoking still.
No, he's not. Didn't even go out. Ha ha, I was peeing.
Well, you missed your cue, too.
Well, it's not. I had to pee, so I just figured I'd pull an Omega and miss my cue. Only mine was intentional and planned.
Anyway, Tim.
What? Continue, what do you want?
Continue with your show.
Well, fine. Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Hey! Happy birthday to our transplanted Kiwi living in Japan, Mr. Nick Diddy. I guess he's, what, 37 years old now? 38 years old? 38, never kissed a girl?
No idea.
We'll go with that one.
He wants to know, do you pee in a bottle, Tim?
No. I didn't pee in a bottle, I peed in the toilet. We have those things in Canada. It's indoor plumbing even, hey? So that's awesome. Which is, you know, really valuable when it's minus 20 outside Celsius.
Yeah, he can't pee in a bottle because if he mixes it up with the moonshine, he won't be able to tell the difference.
That's not true. The moonshine's clear.
See a urologist.
Yeah, the pee's cloudy. Shut up! No, anyway, yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody who's informing me of the grossly obvious when we brought up China that she and Sean Waltman started in a sex tape called One Night in China. Not that I would know that. I'm just being a smart aleck because of a message that I was, you know, given.
Did you watch One Night in China, Tim?
I didn't watch it, but I am very, very knowledgeable about it. In other words, I knew it happened.
Don't tell anyone he watched One Night in China.
I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Did you watch it?
Hell no.
I bet you did.
That's disgusting, Tim.
Yeah, you protest like crazy here, and you're trying to like turn the tables around and see if you can get people all grossed up because you want them to think that I saw it. But I think you're just trying to deflect away from the fact that you.
If you want to be grossed out, wait till Quick Hits.
Yeah, I think you better not, because I will just hang up.
I can tell you this for sure, and Omega knows this. Quick Hits has nothing to do with China, right, Omega?
Yeah.
Probably has something to do with Twinkies.
Okay, kids. Rule number one about Fight Club: never talk about Fight Club. So.
Except that the guy who wrote that is writing a sequel.
Oh my god. Okay. Rule number two about Fight Club: never watch the sequel.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who did that that's making a sequel, and supposedly there's now rumor that they're working on a sequel to Spaceballs.
Oh my god.
I pray to god it's not as bad as the cartoon was.
If they're making a sequel to Spaceballs, I hope it's a prequel and they make fun of this goddamn...
I hope they actually do hold to the promise and call it The Search for More...
Yeah,
that would be good. Yeah, please do it. Come on, Mel Brooks, you can do that. I'm still waiting for History of the World Part 2. I want to see Hitler's on Ice and Jews in Space.
I'm having a hard time picturing Hitler on Ice.
What? Did you never see the movie History of the World Part 1?
I believe I have, but it's been that long that I can't remember it properly.
Well, you know, okay, just to refresh your memory, end credits start rolling, and I'm at the theater in Red Deer watching this with my cousin and his girlfriend, and the movie's over. We all get up and we're about to leave, and it stops, right, you know, like the end roll stops after about 45 seconds. He couldn't have timed it better. All you hear is Mel Brooks yelling out, "Wait, where are you going?" And you see that in great big white letters on the screen, "Wait, where are you going?" And then he promotes History of the World Part 2. You'll see Hitler on Ice! And that's the guy dressed up like Hitler figure skating.
Like I said, it's been a while.
And then Jews in Space! And they're flying around, you know, these spaceships in the shape of the Star of David. And they're saying,
Jews in Space. Jews in Space, wasn't that just Spaceballs?
No.
No, that was Druids.
Yes. Jews in Space was History of the World Part 1. So you can't have a sequel to Blazing Saddles because Alex Karras unfortunately passed away. And you can't do a sequel to Blazing Saddles without Longo. No. So... But anyway, I think maybe we wasted enough time. Did you guys hear about the rumor about Ronda Rousey possibly joining WWE?
Now, in what capacity is she joining
in the Divas division as the Walking Apocalypse,
the latest anti-diva?
I could see her and Paige teaming up and getting along quite well.
Or her and Natty?
No.
I'm just thinking...
It's Ronda and Paige, that's it. End of story.
Or AJ?
Nah.
I'm thinking about...
AJ would be too cute and prancy for Ronda.
Yeah. I don't care what capacity she's in. Can she snap the bellows in half?
Yes, please!
See, I could buy.
The only on the roster, I think, have any real wrestling talent. So,
here's the thing: like, I could buy Ronda Rousey coming in for, say, WrestleMania.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, she comes in some sort of capacity in the Divas match, even if they do their usual, you know, six man tag with a with the special guest.
So you're basically as a one-off.
Yeah, I can see there's a one-off special attraction. I don't see her with the way she's fighting in the UFC and the attention she's getting there and the money she's getting there. I don't see her going to the WWE.
Well, I'm sure that she could probably make some pretty hefty coin, but it doesn't make sense for her to go to WWE.
She'd make pretty hefty coin, but not the type of coin she's currently making for the UFC, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the girl is the reason why UFC even decided to go back on their stance of promoting the women's fight in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, Dana White was very adamant, you will not see women fighting in the UFC, and then along comes Ronda Rousey, and he's like, oh shit.
Maybe we better.
Shit, there's money to be made here. Let's do that.
Yeah. And she was unbelievably hot in Expendables 3, too.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
She's got a very good marketable look, and she can fight. Fuck, she can fight better than most of the guys.
Yeah.
And she doesn't take steroids. Anderson Silva.
or the other guy.
Nick Diaz.
Yeah. They both fucking tested positive.
No. Well, the worst thing is Silva tested positive for steroids, whereas Diaz tested positive for recreational marijuana.
Well, all right.
So, you know, it's
give the
bit
to Diaz
offside
here. Give the win to Diaz just for fighting on marijuana.
Exactly. But, like I said, Ronda Rousey, I could definitely see her coming in as a special attraction for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Hell, have Rousey versus Nikki Bella at WrestleMania one-on-one.
And
people won't be using that match as a piss break, I can tell you that.
Absolutely destroy Nikki.
Damn right.
She'd be
the female Brock Lesnar, just come in and destroy bitches.
Well, that'd be interesting. Give her a contract where she only has to show up 12 times a year.
Hey, why not? But still, a one-off, I could see that and I'd buy it. Not as a constant thing at this stage.
No, not at this stage. Maybe down the road a little bit?
Maybe. It depends on how her career goes. No. If she keeps being as popular as she is in the UFC, I don't see it happening until she ends up retiring.
No. But, yeah, no, I gotta agree with you. One-off for WrestleMania, that'd be pretty cool. It'd be worth the money. It'd definitely keep people from abusing the water mains during a Divas match, I would think.
It'd be better than the women they've brought in for WrestleMania in the past.
Have they ever brought in a woman for WrestleMania that you actually were glued to the set for? Ever?
No, the farthest back, you'd have to go back to like Cyndi Lauper for any kind of interest, and I was not old enough to turn on the TV set at the time.
WrestleMania 12, Pamela Anderson escorting Shawn Michaels to the ring.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
No, you can't count Trish because she was a regular. We're not talking regulars. We're talking about, you know, like special appearances, Nick.
Yeah, so celebrities and the like.
Yeah.
Yeah, celebrities, famous people, and Snooki.
Oh, God, yeah, Snooki. Fuck. That, yeah, I definitely, I went out for smoke, I think, when Snooki was on.
Can we do Ronda Rousey versus Snooki?
That'd be fun.
Book it.
There you go. So, we saw him as a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. And, of course, talking about I call him Bubba
Snooki
Ray.
I was about to say Snooki's in the Rumble.
No. We've changed here. We're moving on to the next topic.
Okay, your segue needs work, sir.
Yeah. Well, it was a hard stop, but Bubba Ray Dudley, or Brother Ray, whatever you want to call him, he says that having another run in WWE is up to us fans. Now, should he or shouldn't he?
If he can pull Devon out of retirement, I say go for it.
I'd say even without
as much as I love like his work as Bully Ray, and he can work singles extremely well and develop a good character.
You just want to see Yvonne with him.
Yeah, I reckon it just means more to have them come back as the Dudley Boys, jump into that tag division, which needs a boost.
And they would give them a definite boost.
Yeah, and yeah. they could be the guys, you know, give them a last run, give them a small title run, then stick them in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, my question is, did Devon retire still under contract? Or did the contract run out and he said, nah, that's it?
Devon's contract ran up. He said, I don't want to bother really wrestling unless I feel like it.
Okay.
He wanted to go more into being full-time trainer at their training school.
Okay, well, fair enough.
But hey, for the right amount of money, I'm sure he'll change his mind.
He could probably be lured into the back to the WWE with Bubba. So, but yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Bubba, even without Devon. I wouldn't expect any kind of full-time thing, and I wouldn't expect to see him every week. But and I probably wouldn't want to see him every week, but I wouldn't have any problems with him on a short singles run.
It'd be one of those last run deals. Mm-hmm. You bring him back for you know, 3 months, give him a title run at some point during it, and then have him you know go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah,
and just to finish, you know, just to give the fans one last hurrah, so to
say. And then put the Hall of Fame through the tables.
Put the tables in the Hall of Fame? Hell yeah.
Put the tables in the Hall of Fame.
No, Spanish announcer table goes in first.
The Spanish announcer table definitely has to go into the Hall of Fame at some point in time.
I'm surprised that has never been like a hashtag or Twitter or something.
Nobody but takes I'm surprised a bump that there hasn't that been,
table. There hasn't been like some sort of, you know, petitions or something to put in the Spanish announce table into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we can try to start one. See if it picks up any momentum.
I don't know. I jumped on board of the little kid Connor the Crusher.
No.
There was a thing floating around online. People want to get him inducted in the Hall of Fame just as a final thing for that kid.
Well, after you know all that
press and everything that he's been through with the WWE and everything, and after that, hearing the story,
yeah, that would be really interesting for them to do that. I mean, that would be definitely a one-time thing. I mean, and I don't mean one-time for him, but I mean like a one-shot, like a one-time deal for the WWE to actually do something like that.
Yeah, but like I had a lot of people turning around and going, you know, oh, this. If they do put him in, it sets a very dangerous precedent. You know, what about all the other kids out there who have the same type of illnesses and everything? If they make the last wish to be in the Hall of Fame, does the WWE have to grant it?
Well, yeah.
The only reason why I push that this is an exception is the WWE does, you know, tens of thousands of Make-A-Wish wishes every year, but you never hear about the kid being so drawn into the company, like everybody on the roster really taking a shining to this kid. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, they knew his time was short and everything, and, you know, they went out of their way to go above and beyond anything that even Make-A-Wish does.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear about it from, like, Stephanie and Triple H and Daniel Bryan, Kane and all that, that this kid touched their lives. You know, you don't hear that type of story often. So I reckon it's something worth rewarding.
But, yeah, you know, it's an interesting idea, definitely. But, like you said, dangerous precedent. What do they do?
I suppose you could flip it on its head and add something into the Slammies. You know, say the Colin the Crusher Award for charitable work. Mm-hmm. There are other ways that you can do it. But I just think it would be a nice thing to do.
Well, you opened up a celebrity wing for the Hall of Fame. Could you open up the, you know, as morbid as it's going to sound when he's saying it, I'm sure you're getting the idea. Couldn't you open up a special wing for that type of fan?
Yeah, but still, I'd rather keep it as a one-off deal. No. That's just me. And yes, well, Rock, that is a very funny link to kayfabe news for the Spanish announced table to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
That was cute. So, but yeah, that'll be interesting. But what can you do? Yeah. All right. So, guys, looks like we're in store for Dean Ambrose and Bad News Barrett fighting each other for the strap, the IC strap. Now, does this feud have legs? What do you think? How long can they stretch it out for?
It's kind of hard because we really haven't had the chance to see the two in the ring together at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to see. Because promo-wise, they could be all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but between... Bad News Barrett and his TMZ style gimmick now,
mm-hmm.
which I really kind of hope lets him do a bunch of like GTV style stuff.
That'd be interesting. Okay.
And just Dean Ambrose being completely batshit on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun places they could go with that if they want to stretch it out.
I mean, just the back and forth between the two of them would be worth the price of admission, as far as I'm concerned. Every week when Dean comes out and does something, you know, I'm just digging his character that much more every single week. Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sort of hesitant on this. Like, I'd rather see Ambrose actually, you know, getting a bit of a push, but, mm-hmm. you know, sure, you can take a look and say, oh, he's getting an IC title match eventually and probably a run with the belt.
Yeah.
Gotta remember, the IC title means about as much as, you know, a dog taking shit on the side of the road.
Nowadays, but, you know, like, how long should Bad News Barrett hold the title for? Is that going to help increase, reestablish his prestige?
No. Barrett doesn't need the belt. The only reason why he got it to begin with was because Ziggler went and did some stand-up comedy that the company didn't approve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those right place, right time deals when somebody else is fucked up.
So do you see Ziggler coming into the picture to reclaim the title once WWE decides he's been punished enough? No?
Ziggler's never punished enough in that company. That's the biggest problem, is that guy is never punished enough by that company. No. At least according to, you know, their writers anyway. I don't know, it's like, it's early to call this thing between Ambrose and Barrett. Could be excellent.
Yeah.
You know, the mic work, you know, Barrett playing the cowardly heel and going, no, you're not going to get a title shot, and you have Ambrose chucking a tantrum like a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That makes for some funny TV.
Well, you're just projecting here on something that is potentially going to be better than the actual match itself.
Probably.
Which I don't have a problem with. I'm sorry. These two guys both, you know, I'm digging Dean in the ring, and I'm digging his character. I like his work, and let's face it, Barrett, except for that stupid fucking finishing move of his, which is just, you know, turn the elbow pad inside out. He's good in the ring, too. I mean, the two of these guys...
He needs to get rid of that cape, too.
Yeah. But
I don't mind the cape so much.
He is not Super Barrett. He should not have a cape.
I don't know. I don't get the sense of Super Barrett with that cape. I get the sense of like some kind of Celtic warrior type dude, because, you know, or like a Norse warrior, because that's the style of cape that it is. Like a medieval mean guy, you know, tough guy or whatever.
I liked it when he had his jacket.
But
his jacket was funky.
I'm pretty sure that any match that these two put on together would be a really good one and a potential show stealer. And I just know that they're going to wind up fighting for the title at Fastlane.
Maybe a bit too early for that type of thing. But
with the rematch at WrestleMania?
The unfortunate thing is, nah, they wouldn't do that. I'd put the IC title match at Mania, but you put it low on the card. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is like these guys could have a rip-roaring feud and they're not going to go anywhere. It's like after they're done with that, they're just going to sit around the mid-card. Mm-hmm. You know, Barrett's got a good character. If he can just stay healthy enough for a decent amount of time, then I could see him starting to be pushed
and not
into
getting
like a main event. And start getting, you know, a main event push. Ambrose should already be getting close to a main event push, but they keep pushing him back down to the mid card. Or, you know, feeding him to Bray Wyatt because we have to keep Bray Wyatt strong for The Undertaker, supposedly. It's like you see the guys that are starting to get over naturally and they peter around mid card until the fans go, well, they're not going to go anywhere, so why should we bother?
I know with Dean, instead of being given the meteoric, you know, the quote unquote meteoric push that they're given both Roman and Daniel Bryan, maybe they're just letting it be a little bit, you know, and here's that buzzword for me for the night again, organic, you know. Dean is establishing himself in his own little niche and all that other, you know, fun and funky stuff. And I'm not in any rush to see him climb to the top of the mountain. I'm going to, you know, I want to enjoy watching him on his journey to the top of the mountain, and I think that we could wind up with that. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Instead, like, it's great to see people establish themselves, become an organic push, and everything else. But there's two different ways to climb the mountain. Either you're going to climb straight up the side and head towards the top, or you're going to do like they're doing with Dean Ambrose, to start from the bottom, make him work his way around and around and around the entire mountain, and by the time he gets to the top, nobody's going to give a shit.
Well, you don't want to take too long at the same time. Yeah, you don't want people to lose. But Dean's character is so spazzy that it's just hard for me to fathom that it's going to get tired. He's portraying it so perfectly right now. And it just feels to me like it's one of those cases of it doesn't matter what he's doing, you're not going to feel like it's getting old. I know, at least to me, that's, you know, opinion, of course.
I would almost call it, I would almost relate it to like Crash Holly, where the gimmick, the person, their persona is just so random and out there that you really could do anything with it, and it's still going to seem like it's in character, which gives it a lot of longevity. Excuse me, I'm trying to get in points in between my nose, trying to shut my respiratory system down.
Oh, are you stuffing up again?
I've been stuffing up for like over 2 days now.
All that damn humidity that you have to put up with, too, that must be a bit of a nightmare. You getting headaches and shit?
Headaches, no.
Okay.
I've had sneezing fits where I thought I broke a rib.
That's never fun.
He's currently like that Janosch character in Ghostbusters 2. Why am I dripping with goo?
I posted it on Facebook. It's like, okay, for the last 2 days I felt like this. And it's
that's how I knew you were sick.
Yeah, it's just vaguely covered in slime.
Well, I'm sorry you're sick, dude. Get over it.
Okay, well, now that you've told me, I guess business. I will.
That, you know, I don't mean get over it like get over yourself. I mean like get over it, like get better quick.
I'm working on it.
My God, yeah. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you right now, we'll probably see that set up tomorrow or next week, that it's going to be a match at Fastlane for the title. And is that too fast? Yes, I will say it's too fast, but I think that this whole, you know, Fastlane pay-per-view thing is a very, you know, short
stand set up for the matches. So almost rushed, I guess you can call it.
It's a new pay-per-view. It's kind of a, well, I don't know. It feels like a lot of this is going in with things like, well, a lot of these guys just came back from injury. A lot of these guys weren't in long-term plans. That's kind of a laughing point in the WWE these days.
Mm-hmm.
So. It feels like they're just kind of throwing things together. They already have the WrestleMania plan, and this is just, this isn't like the fast lane to WrestleMania. This is a speed bump.
It's a detour. It's a pit stop. There you go. It's a perfect, it's a pit stop. It's just like, we're going to go this way a little bit here, you know, and refill the water jugs, use the rest area before we get on the, back on the highway to WrestleMania. That's the way it's feeling to me.
Well, the pit stop, you at least knows and you remember. Like, this is literally like, oh, boot. Oh, what? Oh, that was like a pothole. Never mind.
Yeah, well, speaking about WrestleMania and WrestleMania matches, are you guys ready for Bray Wyatt and Undertaker to face off against each other?
I have zero interest in this idea.
Now, why do you have zero? Because Undertaker is as old as he is, or what?
That plays into it, yes. Undertaker is getting older, he can't move as quick as he used to, he can't take the risks that he used to.
The fact that the streak was broken last year?
That also plays, that's one of the other factors in it, yes. Without the streak, Undertaker at WrestleMania loses all like draw to it. It now becomes just another match.
Now, think like the WWE bookers, or they think, well, he lost last year, can he win again, or is he just going to keep losing?
Well, that's the thing. If you make it win, if Taker wins, it doesn't mean anything. He's still got that one loss. People are still going to be reminded of Lesnar kicking the crap out of him last year.
Okay.
And if you have Bray go over The Undertaker, then that really sort of deludes what happened last year, because now that Undertaker's been beaten, well, anybody can beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, it's no longer a big deal. And to be honest, Bray's been doing really well on his own. He doesn't need the rub from winning against The Undertaker.
Okay, rub. Omega.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is WWE's classic, air quote, rub from a potentially retiring superstar to, you know, a member of the future?
If they really wanted to give that rub, they'd have left the undefeated streak as it was.
Okay.
Like, Bray would have gone to the moon if he was the one to beat the streak. And in a way, it would have been appropriate because it's one supremely psychological character passing on to the next.
Okay. And so you don't really buy into that?
No. Like...
Okay.
I'm...
Because I know Mace doesn't buy into it either.
I kind of look forward to this match only because I see it as a possible passing of the torch. Between the kind of psychological gimmick that worked in the past versus one that works in the present.
Yeah.
You know, the next, you know, and Bray does have that potential.
Yeah.
I've never seen, but I'm not looking forward to the match itself.
You're not? Okay.
Because I've been doubting Undertaker for years, and the only reason last year wasn't a good match is because he got concussed instantly.
Yeah. That was like, what, 2 minutes in that he knocked his noggin?
Yeah.
And got loopy? So he was basically just wrestling on instinct, kind of.
I'm not discrediting the quality of the match, but he needs an opponent that can maintain a good match against someone who... honestly, does not have the physicality anymore to do it himself.
Okay.
And well, I don't know if Bray is capable of that.
Okay, but on the other side of the coin, does this speak volumes for Bray if this winds up being, which, you know, like last year against Brock Lesnar, it should have been. But if this is the Undertaker swan song, like we're probably figuring that it would be, Mace as a wrestler, would this be the ultimate, you know, handing off of the torch by WWE for Bray? As Undertaker's,
I'm not a fan of this idea of passing the torch.
Okay.
Like, Bray should continue what he has done. He has created his own niche for himself.
Yeah.
Yes, he does do the psychological gimmick that The Undertaker used to do in today's realm very well. Mm-hmm. Let him continue to build upon that. Instead of having to rely or having to get this rub off The Undertaker in order to cement what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Undertaker lost to Lesnar last year. That should have been the end of it.
That should have been the end of it.
We shouldn't even be hearing the name Undertaker combined with WrestleMania this year.
Except for Hall of Fame, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, with the exception of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, Undertaker has been beaten, and I'll be honest, the latest photos of the man looks like he's aged 50 years in the past 12 months.
Well, yeah, he's looked like that for a few years now. He gets himself all dyed up.
And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. He is getting closer and closer to Crypt Keeper every year. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I feel at this point, now that we've had the handoff of the streak being broken and everything that's come of that, to have him come back just feels like he's now in the same league as, like, Ric Flair, who comes back and does a match every now and again because he needs a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't see Mark needing a paycheck, so...
No, well, neither do I. But at the same time, it's got that type of feel to it. It's the guy who can't... He's gone from being the big mystical Undertaker to being the big... Yeah, you know, one of the big draws for WrestleMania. Now he's just becoming that old dog that's, you know, not wanting to leave the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, okay. That's just the way I see it. I don't think that the Undertaker should be around WrestleMania anymore. He should have, you know, this could have been a very good chance to have him quietly disappear.
Yeah.
But if they're going to drag him back out, I don't see that being anything more than, you know, the old dog that just doesn't want to leave.
Okay. Well, do you see this as being a setup for anything, for anybody other than Undertaker facing off against Bray? And who would it be?
I don't know. That's the biggest problem, is that Bray, they've been holding Bray back for this Undertaker idea for the last few months, that they haven't really put him anywhere that there is an alternative. You know, you either go through with this Bray versus Undertaker match, which I'm going to be honest is going to make both men look terrible in the ring.
No.
Or you sit him out of WrestleMania completely and you deny a guy that has worked his ass off for 12 months.
Yeah. It's really hard to call on this one, isn't it?
Well, yes and no, but the way I see it is the Undertaker's way past his prime. His body has been betraying him something shocking.
Yep.
He can't take what he used to. And I'm going to be dead honest. Bray is still too green and cannot carry somebody like The Undertaker.
Good thing Lindsay's not around.
Yeah, look, Bray's good in his own right, and he's good against, you know, these newer guys. He's going up against guys like Ziggler, Bryan, you know, Ambrose, Rollins, etc., etc. You give him somebody who can't do much, he's not going to be able to carry them to a good match. And that's the honest truth.
Yeah, so it's kind of difficult. I mean, you can't really... this is another case WWE painting themselves into a corner, basically, where they kind of... Well, we kind of sort of dropped the ball with this because, you know, that should have been it. But we got to go through with it. Why? What can you do, I guess?
Scrap WrestleMania. We'll start again next year.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Let's take our second time out of the evening, everybody. Go get yourself a nice tasty beverage or a little something to snack on if you want. We're going to take a break and then come back. We're going to open up the phone lines for you to call in. Now, anywhere in North America, if you want to call in via telephone, pick up your telephone and dial 267-297-1397. Is that right, Rock?
He remembered the number.
I practiced all afternoon. I'm proud of myself. I lied. I did not. But yeah, so anywhere in North America, you can call. Now, those of you living outside of Canada or the States, and you don't really have access to because it's a Skype phone number, just get on Skype and call Sir Rockin on Skype, and you can get on board with us that way. But we're going to take our time out now. We'll come back. Then we'll tell you when to call in. And I know for a fact we'll probably hear from Mr. Diddy as soon as we come back from break. I'm just speculating. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back right after this.
I drink and bent and bent as a puff on deck. Rock the mic. Uh-oh, I crave skin rips. Find a honey dip to dip it in. Slam dunk it, stick it, flip it and ride. That B-double-O-T-Y, oh my. Ooh, that's it. Come on, come on. Whoop, there it is. I'm done.
How does he do this without burning himself?
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here.
Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all of the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
It's going to be great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that's way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chip. No, because I know it's AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Jason could be picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR picked.
Subway. You were 500. You were poor and poor. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. Wait. Damn. I think my mind. I think my head just exploded. I'm done.
I think something disconnected from my brain.
Hang taking calls. I came to kick ass.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, the phone number, and I'm going to talk real slow so you can grab a pencil or a pen to write it down to call in.
Or if you're, Nick Diddy, now we're back on the air.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
He's called me twice.
There you go. I told you he'd be calling in. The phone number is 267-297-1397. 267-297-1397. Call into the WTR hotline and, you can ask your questions or give us your comments or whatever. And, hey, Nick, why don't you call in now? On Skype, Sir Rockin'.
Now that we're back on the air, he called.
Now that we're back on the air, and he only called you once.
Three, two,
one.
Oh, wait, we got to wait half. The time. That's the gap between when we actually speak and the words getting out to the listeners.
One half, one quarter, one eighth.
The chairman wants 15th. The chairman wants to know, what is your number 10, the customer service line for WTR?
Oh, there isn't one.
You don't have a phone number for people to call?
Okay, if you want to call 24/7 to access for voice complaints, 267-297-1397.
You know, we just tell them, say, I'll play, you got 10 minutes to complain, we'll play voicemails. I'll play them on Saturday on CB Radio.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, if you want to call and leave voicemails for any of the programs, do it, and then we will play them on whatever program that is directed to.
Play them. You know, get 10 minutes voicemail.
So, yeah, why not? It'd be hilarious. Hi, Nick!
Konnichiwa to you lot.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Cheers, thanks. I just wanted to get an opinion on you guys. Like, last week, Super Crazy spilt the beans on that New Japan Pro Wrestling has bought out Noah Pro Wrestling. What I know that you guys probably aren't very informed about the scene over here, but like the idea that like New Japan is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and like the what's the prospects of this could be? This could actually become like a new sort of, I guess, Monday Night War, like between New Japan and the WWE. I just wanted to get some sort of thoughts from you guys about the idea of, like, could this actually blow up to being something bigger than, like, because New Japan's just launched a New Japan Pro Wrestling World channel, similar like the WWE Network, as well now with the takeover of Noah. Do you think this could actually blow up into another war?
Well, I don't think it would be another war per se, but if it actually contributes to competition, we all know that competition makes makes everybody stronger.
Right.
Plus, from what I've been hearing, and feel free to confirm or deny any of this, Nick, that supposedly Noah is still continuing, but it's going to be just financed by New Japan at this point.
That's correct. Like, it's going to continue along as it is, so it's sort of going to be like NXT or like how ECW was during the WWE run between 2006 to 2010. It's going to be continued along those lines. However, it's now under the branch of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I don't see that being as big of a problem as like when WWE bought out WCW, which is initially what it sounds like. You know, we've just bought our competition, we got to dissolve them, this, that, and the other. If they're willing to still keep it on as a separate brand and just let the company continue, but while giving them a bit of cash, that's cool. I don't think it's probably going to play into like another Monday Night Wars style thing, especially between New Japan and WWE, because let's be honest, while the New Japan pay-per-view like Wrestle Kingdom 9 was so wildly accepted by the audience, it wasn't accepted enough that it's actually going to make a dent in the monopoly that WWE has in the US market, if not the world market. At least not, you know, it's going to take a lot more than just opening their own version of the WWE network to see them as competition. As with any company, and this is what TNA got wrong, is that you need TV, you need reach, you need advertising, you need proper world tours, not just going to the UK. If New Japan wants to try and be on the same level as WWE, they're going to start doing a lot more things like international touring. They've got to get their program out in more markets, which means they need to find a dedicated, at least a dedicated American distribution channel with English commentary, so that people can actually start watching. And from what I've heard, the bits of New Japan that have gotten out in the States recently is stuff from like 2-3 years ago, just done as like a highlight reel every week to English commentary, which is not what you want to do.
Well, the thing with that is that they're introducing the characters that they currently have in the lineup, because there's a lot of, as you said, there's a lot of people in North America that have no idea who are Shinsuke Nakamura or Tanahashi, Hiroshi, or Ibushi, or anybody of the main guys, and even Okada as well. Like, they have no idea about it. So introducing those guys into it, and then when people now understand why Wrestle Kingdom was such a big thing for like the main event between Okada and Tanahashi, like people understand that it's these two big guys in the company, and so it's sort of giving some background I wish they had actually shown those shows prior to Wrestle Kingdom, so people there was more people invested into it. However, like you're right, like New Japan needs to actually look outside the borders of the island, as it were, and actually try and expand network wise. What do you think about this, Tim?
Oh, wow. Well, you know. I just reading the entire news story, Noah is basically getting paid by New Japan, but they're keeping everything secret.
Well, that was
like,
the case.
So like what Heyman did in 99.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Now, is this an official takeover, or is this a prop up, or is this a collaboration or a cooperation? What is it?
I think it's just like a subsidy sort of thing, where they're just like, well, Noah doesn't have any money, and so they went to New Japan to ask for money, and so New Japan took it over, but they're like, well, we'll just keep you separately, and that means we can use your guys for our pay-per-views, and like, so when the Ring of Honor pay-per-views come along, like, all the Noah, they can put, like, they can coexist with Noah as well, so it's sort of like just a sub-brand, I guess, of New Japan. So I guess that's the way we're looking at it right now, but still a bit cloudy because it was super crazy. A guy who hasn't been in Noah for years now, I think it's a couple of years, but he spilled the beans about the idea that it was being taken over. So we just got to – I think it's just they're working like ECW was from 2005 till 2010 where – it's a subsidy of the WWE, and they're supposed to be working by themselves separate to the WWE, but the WWE is funding it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way to explain it.
Well, you know, you asked at the outset of the of your call, do you see a new Monday Night War type scenario? I don't, at least not in the very, you know, not in the near future, not in the mid future. I mean, how far away would they be from offering current WWE talent comparable money to come and work for them full-time instead? I mean, that was one of the big deals about the Monday Night War between WCW and WWF at the time, was Ted Turner's money and the exposure. Ted had his own television station where he could put all these wrestling programs on for himself.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's like maybe 2 to 3 years away that New Japan. But the thing is, with the success of Wrestle Kingdom 9 and the success and the future success of the endeavor of New Japan, I think it's maybe 2-3 years away that we're looking at a potential war between the two. But Mace is right. Before it's about the fact that New Japan needs to look outside the borders of the country and go overseas and go to the States and do shows. And also when they do like TV shows and TV and advertising, they need to put English into it. So there's then the market in the States becomes real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim did bring up a good point with, you know, bringing in international talent. Like when you take a look at it, their international talent base that they're bringing in guys from TNA. Which, from an international standpoint, is like bringing in the guys that decide to bring down, bringing in the iceberg that crashed into the Titanic. You know, when your main guys are like AJ Styles and Jeff Jarrett, people are going to go, eh. You know,
to get notoriety in the US, what else are they going to do? They can't pull in anyone from WWE.
Exactly, unfortunately. But the thing is, they need to capture the guys that are leaving the company, and unfortunately, there's no big name leaving the company right now.
That's true. So I've got to run. I've got to actually go off to one of my classes. Sorry, guys. I'll catch you guys later on. I'll probably try and catch you at the end of the show or something like that.
All right, Nick, I'll probably hear from you later tonight, mate.
No worries. Catch you later.
Thanks for calling in, Nick. Always good to hear from you. Everybody, that's our buddy Nick Diddy living in Japan, but he's from New Zealand. And that's why he doesn't sound Japanese.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like the other thing I was going to bring up about the whole New Japan thing is they're not using all their own money. They were actually partly bought out by a card game company called Bushiroad over in Japan. And they're not exactly the best card company on the planet, so they don't have big money to throw around.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so, in the whole idea of trying to gain ex-WWE talent, isn't exactly going to work in their favor.
So this is getting more and more comparable to TNA the more we talk.
Pretty much. And that's the biggest problem is that no company worldwide, like TNA, New Japan, AAA out of Mexico, or whatever, nobody has the money to behind them to create the infrastructure needed for a global company. You know, where Vince has been lucky enough to have been in the business for multiple generations with his family to build it up. He got in on the boom time of the 80s, compiled that, and, you know, used the Monday Night Wars to start turning himself into a billionaire. It's all internal money now. The biggest problem is when you have investors starting to come in, investors don't want to put in gigantic amounts of money.
Yeah. When they want a huge return for very minimal input.
Exactly. When Ted owned WCW, he was using the money that he controlled within his company to funnel into WCW. He had nobody that was going to stand there and go, you can't do this. And what happens when AOL walked in the door? They started looking at the bottom line.
That you can't do this anymore.
Yeah, and that's where the funding started dropping in WCW.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, unless you have another situation like a Ted Turner in early WCW days, where they can splash millions of bucks on, you know, mid-card guys to draw them over, or, you know, you pay tens of millions to a big name to jump ship, you're not going to get the exposure that you need. Yep. You know, WCW had the exposure. They had the Turner Network. And then you brought in Hulk Hogan, and all of a sudden, eyes are starting to be drawn to WCW.
Yep.
You get guys like Hall and Nash, and, you know, you mid-card guys from the WWE that weren't doing too well, but had a bit of a name. Build and build. Nobody has that money anymore.
Yep.
And that's the reason why you will never see a viable contender for Vince. Is that nobody has the money to input into the company that Vince does now.
Yeah, I just cannot see that ever happening again. So
Vince bought out his competition. He now has the monopoly. Once a monopoly has been created, it is extremely hard to break.
Yeah. Exceedingly true, which is terrible for unions, but not so bad for Vince.
So now that we've talked business, let's get to the weather.
Yeah, there you go. So, if anybody else wants to call in, now is the time to do it because we're about to move on here. If you don't, once again, on the phone, 267-297-1397, or Sir Rockin' on Skype, and we'll welcome to the air right now a guy calls himself Starscream Josh.
Hi, guys. First time.
Hi, Josh. How are you,
Hi.
Josh?
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good. Hey, you know what 95 and 5 is?
What's that?
5 is the percentage of Canadians who say A, and 95 is the percentage of people mimicking Canadians who say A.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know that.
Now you do.
Ah.
Did you also
there
know...
There is still a thing called Canadian bacon.
That's not Canadian bacon. You guys are so fucking retarded. Anyway, did you know that more Canadians per capita watch the Super Bowl than Americans did? Now you know.
Welcome to useless Canadian trivia right here on Russell Talk Radio.
Well, no, it's just useless trivia.
Did you know that Canadians have more time to look up Wikipedia things than any other person on the planet?
Hey, you know what? I didn't look up Wikipedia to find that out, so fuck off.
He heard it on the radio.
I read it on Twitter.
Isn't Canadian trivia part of Tim's drinking game?
No, it is not part of the drinking game.
It's not part. So you can take a shot anyway, but it won't count.
Damn it!
We really need to bring back Tim Stein Bingo.
Fuck you!
I have to get the cards off the old computer that's not functioning at the moment.
Yeah, there you go. So what's up, Josh?
I just mostly wanted to call in, even though I do have one topic that I wanted to bring up.
Then bring it up.
Well, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, you called in, so bring the fucking thing up.
Tim, you gotta be nicer to our callers, Tim.
It's Josh. Give me a break.
Be nice.
No offense, Josh.
No, I'm not really that nice to you in the chat sometimes.
Yeah, so, you know, you call in, you get it back. That's all there is to it.
Fair enough. I wanted to talk about the 1 million subscribers that WWE brought up 2 weeks ago.
Okay, bring it up.
That, back in my head, I was thinking this could be damage control for the whole canceled WWE hashtag stupid thing.
Yeah.
At least in the back of my mind, I wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
Well, I can see where you're coming from with that thought, but the fact of the matter is, and I didn't Wikipedia this, I was actually informed of this by Rock, that the 1 millionth subscriber happened several weeks before.
No.
That's
no,
what I heard,
no,
too.
No, it happened when they
the numbers were released even after hashtag cancel WWE?
When they put out that first press release, that's when they hit 1 million.
Okay, that's hitting 1 million.
They gained a lot of subscribers after the Royal Rumble, too. And in November when they did the free month, which is why the network is free this month. Go buy the network, people. Buy it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the canceled WWE network backlashed on the 875 fans who were pissed off enough to actually try to get that trending.
Was it really that little?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really doesn't take that much to get something trending number one on Twitter.
No, but the vitriol and the hatred and everything from Royal Rumble was nowhere near as big as it seemed, thanks to social media. I mean, all of a sudden it's a news story and you get 1,000 people who are pissed off enough that they're going to do that. At this point in time with the network, WWE is like, you know what, you 700 people can, if you don't like it, go on the internet and complain, which is exactly what they did. I think it actually drove people to subscribe in the hours after Royal Rumble when all the shit started going down.
To see what all the controversy was about.
Just see what the fuck's going on. I mean, that'll happen. It's like a moth being drawn to flame. A little kid being told, don't touch that hot element in the kitchen on the stove. You know, some of them are going to fucking touch it just to see why they're not supposed to.
I wouldn't even really put it down to that. Like, you take a look at the events leading up to the announcement of the 1 million subscribers. One of the primarily big things that they did at the time was they opened it up to the UK. Now, the UK are probably the second or third highest, most rabid wrestling fans on the planet. So that's probably where you got your big bulk. Because if you remember before they started even moving to, like, officially to Australia or something, they were only pushing 600,000.
Right. It's 872 domestic. 178 international.
Yeah, okay, so in that time you've had 2 free months.
Well,
you've opened it up to the UK.
1 free month.
Didn't they have another one in December?
No.
No.
You can't count this current free month because
no, they did one in November, didn't they?
November was free. November was free. They had a free week back a few months prior.
Wasn't last February last year free as well?
It started last February 23rd. It gave you a free week when you first bought it.
Oh, it was a free week back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've had your free month. Of course, somebody going free, 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 sweet. People are going to jump on board. You open up your international market, especially the UK, people are going to jump on it. You've also got to remember that we're now heading into WrestleMania season. Royal Rumble is going to be a lot of things that even, like, wrestling fans who don't watch all the time, they're going to turn around and go, $9.99 for 1 month as opposed to $50? Hell, I'd be stupid not to sign up to the WWE Network.
They've only been
Michael Cole told me I was stupid for not doing it.
For the last 3 months.
If Michael Cole told me I'm stupid, I must be fucking stupid.
Well, Michael, who else would know better than Michael Cole?
And we know Michael,
exactly.
We know Michael Cole is a moron, so.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing, like, we're heading to the time where wrestling starts becoming a bit more focused. You know, you'll have your increase for the Royal Rumble. People are going to go, oh, well, you know, February's going to be free, even though for a lot of us it's not. They're going to stick around anyway, and they go, oh, well, I can drop $10 and wait till WrestleMania. I'm interested in numbers post-WrestleMania now. Mm-hmm. I want to see if they can keep, because the challenge now is not to get to 1 million, it's to keep that 1 million.
Right, and we won't know the real number probably until July or August, because the number we get after WrestleMania will be the WrestleMania number, not the current number.
And, you know, a ton of people are going to grab it just for WrestleMania. The trick is, you know, who's sticking around after that.
To put it comparatively, Activision Blizzard recently put out their end of year report. Now, when they put out the numbers, they put out numbers for World of Warcraft at 10 million. But the thing is, there has been a dramatic drop-off since then due to dissatisfaction with the expansion. Yet, the numbers that are reported for World of Warcraft are numbers from end of year. Other games such as Destiny, Hearthstone, Diablo and that, all those numbers come up to the end of January 2015, which I found amusing. It's like, what number always looks good in the face of investors? Use those numbers. Like, the 1 million point was reached probably before Royal Rumble. It just so happened that we have cancelled WWE Network come up after the Rumble. Best way to turn around investor confidence? Oh, look, we just did 1 million.
No, they didn't have to do that because they had to actually release the number in 4 days from now when they were actually going to give the number.
Yeah, but they released it early, didn't they?
Because they got the 1 million after the Rumble.
Yeah. It just sounds very, very coincidental that the announcement comes so quickly after a massive backlash.
Yeah.
Which I can agree with. You know, it's business 101. You don't want your investors to seem scared. You know, you don't want that stock price to drop. So you accentuate the positives, hide the negatives.
Anything else, Josh, before we let you go?
No, that's really it. I haven't called in since the old OTL days, so yay.
That's been a while, dude.
What's OTL?
That thing that you want to forget. Sorry, my bad.
He won't forget it because he makes jokes about it, too. So, anyhow.
Yeah, just remember, if you want anything geek from this network now, you go over to youtube.com/WTR Games Garage.
Oh, you whore.
I subscribe, so
pay me, Daddy, pay me.
Not until I get paid.
Anyway, thanks, Josh, for calling in.
Thanks for calling in, Josh. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right, last call. You got 30 seconds. Anybody else who wants to call in? Because if you don't call in, we're moving on. And we'll open up the phone lines again in future shows.
And just in case, what's that number again, Tim?
It is 267-297-1397. That works all over North America. Hey, if you live in Calgary and you're listening, you can call in. If you live in Toronto and you're listening, you can call in. If you live in Florida and you're listening, you can call in. If you live in California, well,
if you're living
your
in Florida, why would you want to call in? Omega rarely does.
If you're stuck at work by choice, you can call in.
As long as you have a mic.
Or an actual phone.
Even a phone. Yeah, a real phone works, you know?
You know, that thing we use before.
One of these days, I want to find a way to, like, patch in the, voice recognition software or text recognition software. So, like, you're Steve Hawking's. And just do an entire show that way.
Do an entire show with Hawking's electronic voice.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can get software programs that you just type it in and it's called text-to-speech. Jeez.
Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Joining me tonight, Microsoft Sam. And special guest Siri.
Oh my god, not Siri. Siri's annoying.
And just when we need it, here comes the paperclip.
I see you're trying to host a radio show. Would you like some help with that?
As long as he doesn't bring that goddamn dog with him.
Okay, just considering we've already gone sidetracked for a couple minutes anyway. Did you guys hear the announcement of this Microsoft 3D imaging thing that they want to do, the projection software.
Old BS hologram thing.
Yeah.
I did not.
The only reason I want that is because I want to see them do the paperclip return. I want a 3D paperclip with googly eyes telling me if I need help with my Minecraft city.
Go. Wow, it's all Star Trekian.
Does he physically react to the hammer?
Let's find
If there was a way to beat up that paperclip, oh my god, I would be so happy. It'd be like shooting that goddamn Duck Hunt dog.
That's mean.
But speaking, Tim, of Star Trek, did you see who I'm going to go meet in April?
George Takei.
Yes.
George Takei, who is really gay.
I don't care. I'm going to get a photo and an autograph from the man.
Well, I'm not saying anything nasty about it. I've got nothing but admiration and respect for George Takei. Do me a favor. Get me a photo and an autograph for me, too.
No. Considering that cost me $110, you can go get fucked.
Listen, I'm not going to be in fucking Australia. There's no reason why I can't wire you the money.
You send me the money, Tim, and I'll believe it, and then I'll get you an autograph photo.
So you're telling me it's going to cost you $150 goddamn dollars Australian to buy a picture and get George to scribble his name on it?
Well, actually, the picture fee, the autograph fee is like $50 Australian.
Yeah, which is like $35 here. Yeah. So that works out.
The reason why it's costing me $110 is because I'm going to go get the photo with George first, which costs $60, and then I'm going to get that photo signed, which is an extra $50.
There you go. Well, then just tell him I said hi.
No.
By the way.
You're an ass.
Definitely.
By the way. Let's see if this works. Maybe.
Tim Stein is too cheap to send you money.
You asshole. The fuck is that?
That's the text-to-speech software.
No, I know what that was. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Is he doing?
Can you do welcome to WTR Sunday night, just so we can see how it works? We might be able to replace Tim completely.
Wait for it.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Next week off.
That will be our virtual Omega, then. How long does it take you to program it to say shit?
Not so much how long it takes to type it out. It's got to read it, and then it's got to...
There is something called Canadian bacon.
Shit, I can take the week off next week, too. This is great.
Yeah, we'll just let Rock do the entire show virtual with this thing.
Anyway, now that we've pretty much wasted enough time and seeing nobody else is calling in.
By the way.
Fuck you, Tim.
Asshole. Douchebag. Douchebag! Alright, that's enough. Let's get into the all-time greatest. Douchebag.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Oh, here we go. It's time for the all-time greatest. So, our first matchup.
Up first, Death Sentence versus Black Widow.
Fuck off!
The machines are taking over. Skynet is active!
It's in the internet.
So,
Omega,
yes.
First.
Hold on.
Omega.
Maybe.
Omega, go first.
There you go. Omega, go.
It's been so long, I'm trying to remember what how the death sentence went.
Tag team finish done by America's Most Wanted. One person put the opponent across their knee like a backbreaker. The other one will be doing a leg drop off top rope.
Okay.
Yeah, I had enough time before the show to actually YouTube these.
Whereas I was trying to eject Slimer from my nostrils.
Ew.
Potato,
bad
potato.
Slimer. Bad Slimer.
Potato, potato. I don't know. It's not like you don't know what the Black Widow is.
Oh, no, no. It's the it's the move AJ does that requires her opponent to spank her to tap out.
Which so guess which one Omega was going to go for.
Guess what I'm picking. No. I really do like the Black Widow as a submission. Just because the way it usually gets put, it can be put on in a manual way, there's this really weird way it's usually put on where it almost looks like a head scissor takeover and then just kind of devolves like it's being countered and then all of a sudden it's there.
Right.
And I love how that is put on. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I put a slight edge to the death sentence. Not only because, okay, you get a tag team called America's Most Wanted. Okay, fine. They nickname their move the death sentence. Good, okay. When they are literally guillotining the poor fucker, that's a good use of gimmick and move. That plays into everything. So, for the added showmanship and how well it suited the gimmick, I will give an extra point to the death sentence.
Mace.
I like the brutality behind the death sentence. You know, the top rope guillotine leg drop just really, really is effective. However, I just can't get past sort of the technicality behind the Black Widow. Like, this has been one of the more interesting submission moves because it reminds me of, like, this weird combination of octopus hold and abdominal stretch. And it can be, like Omega said, it can be applied manually, it can be applied from a head scissors, she does it from, you know, while she's running. It's actually a really interesting move, and it's got a nice visual to it. So I'll give this one to the Black Widow.
All right, Tim, break the tie.
Oh God, you know, you're talking about the Black Widow and the technicality of it, and you know, the way you're describing it, it's the way I'm thinking about it. It's almost like the Diamond Cutter. You could almost put it on literally out of nowhere. It can come at you that way, almost.
No, I'd more probably put it towards the RKO. It's limited in how it can be applied, but it's still very effective when it works.
You're getting the idea, right? But like the guillotine factor with the death sentence. I mean, fuck, that fucks somebody up. But very, very reluctantly by like a whisker. I got to go Black Widow.
So the Black Widow moves on.
Woohoo!
Up next, F5 against Emerald Flausen. Maze, you are at first.
Flausen!
See, that's the limitation of the goddamn thing.
And if you didn't hear it said Mace, you are up first.
Call me Maze, actually. But
okay, corn, go.
Hey, how are ya?
American Indian corn, do it.
This one, Emerald, the Emerald Fusion, as it is otherwise known as, basically is looks like a rotating side slam. I'm sorry, it just doesn't have a good visual pop to it. Whereas the F5, how can you go past the way Brock Lesnar will just pick up somebody in a fall away slam, throw them on the shoulders, and then just piff them off into space? So, yeah, F5, mainly because I'm scared of Brock Lesnar.
Chicken.
You want to go up against him? Fine.
I never said I was going up against him. I'm just calling you a chicken.
Omega.
Omega!
I do tend to like the Emerald Fusion.
I think you were the one who nominated
and
put it on.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's like, well, you needed more suggestions. So I thought, is Emerald Fusion there? Huh? Okay. So I threw it on the list. I'm going to knock it off the list now. Because I like how it looks. I like the kind of combination. It's kind of a halfway between a power slam and a pile driver. When it's done right, it can look really mean. The F5 is just brutal. It's not just the full face first impact. It's having someone like Brock powerful enough to fling someone around to plant it. It's a mean move. I can't say any more. Keep going.
All right, Tim.
You want me to make it unanimous?
If you so choose.
Well, it's not like my vote's going to count for anything because I'm not the tiebreaker on this anymore. Yeah. Oh, the Emerald Flausion. Yeah, you know, Emerald Fusion, it's all cute and all this other shit. The F5, the way Brock delivers it, fucks you up.
And once again, that was basically them saying, maybe, hopefully, loading.
Emerald Flausion.
So there you go. One more next week on the show.
Ridiculous.
You need to play with those in order to get the right pronunciation.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Now, did you try putting an H at the end of the O?
No, I don't care.
Fuck it, he's not even going to try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Oh, he is trying. He's just stalling.
No, I'm not. I'm just waiting to go like this.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
What, Tim?
Oh, I just looking on Twitter, and I made a meme a couple of months ago, and it's hockey, so you guys won't care about it so much. But it's the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team celebrating, and I typed in "and the Maple Leafs celebrate another shot on goal." I put that up on the internet a couple months ago, and I am now looking at the photo I made, independently posted by somebody. And I'm thinking, hey, cool.
So, without even knowing this, Tim, if you were a piece of hockey equipment, what would you be and why?
Well, it sure as hell wouldn't be a jockstrap. I'm not that much of an athletic supporter. If I was a piece of hockey equipment?
Yeah.
God damn, I'd be the stick.
Why?
Because I would be the stick.
Because it would be the only time you can get to hit people and get away with it.
Because hockey.
There's a really mean way to take it with the stick. Anyway, Mace, if you were on the original NXT, who would you choose as your pro?
I was on the original... Oh, God, you're going back a few years. God, I'm just trying to think who was around back then that could have been a pro.
Basically take it as... Who would be your pro? Use the original NXT concept.
Oh, okay, so I can pick
from
any point. Okay, I'm with you now.
Got it.
I would probably go Cesaro.
How come?
Because if there's one thing that I know personally that I could still work on, it would be... my technical wrestling, my knowledge of holds. how to basically build a decent story in the ring using what you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any help cutting promos. I can do that already. So I just take Cesaro's skills and make them my own, and then I become the next most awesome wrestler who can actually cut a promo.
Okay. Omega, if you were a type of soup, what type of soup would you be and why?
Type of soup?
Yes, type of soup.
Right now, chicken noodle.
Why?
Make me immune to whatever the fuck this is.
There you go. Alright, Tim. I've changed the question slightly, but it has the same effect. How much would it cost for you to eat a Twinkie that came out of the stinky of the Great Khali?
I don't like Twinkies anymore. What's the American deficit right now?
Why, Tim? Because that's how much it's going to cost you to eat the Twinkie that came out of the Great Khali stinky?
Oh, fuck no. Multiply that by Google.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you should always join us for Cards.
Be happy.
You need to join us for Cards Against Humanity. We had a lot of fun with that last night.
Yeah. We did.
Yes, you did, Omega. Don't even lie. Anyway, Mace, if you were a type of salad, what type of salad would you be and why?
That would be a Caesar salad.
Why?
Because it's the only way I'd sound fancy.
There you go. And, Omega, you say one sentence to go down in history and be remembered for years after you pass, even centuries into the future. What's that sentence?
Yeah, this is another thing from last night.
No, it's not.
Kind of is.
Sort of. But it wasn't meant to be.
One sentence for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. God, you're basically asking me, how do I want to be remembered?
Yes.
I am still but a wee lad. This is not a fair question at this point in my life. Because at this point, my mark in history is Transformers Armada was a completely shit show. That's not exactly what I want my legacy to be.
I did not eat the Great Khali's stinky twinkie.
God, I'm gonna have a relapse, I swear to God. I don't know. If I'm gonna go an easy answer, it's I put it on a t-shirt, you know, fun has no age limit.
There you go.
Don't be scared of enjoying something just because someone tells you you're too old.
See, was that so hard?
No, but sometimes you like to fidget just to see what happens. It's not entertaining if I just go, oh, yeah. Fun has no age limit. Fun. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Here you go. That's another edition of the TR Sunday Night Wrist Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. And those of you who are catching us on the archive, thanks for downloading the archive. Yeah, we'll do more call-in shows on a regular basis, get more and more people interactive with us. Why not? We only had two phone calls, and they actually sparked some pretty good discussion, so that was encouraging. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's right after wrestling, or as he likes to call it, the Raw Post Show.
Because that's what it's called. Yeah.
Well, call it right after wrestling.
That would take work and changing of graphics now.
And then you could call it, it would still be, it would also be known as Raw. So you could catch Raw immediately following Raw right here on the Wild Talk Network.
There's that Canadian logic for you. Tune into the Raw Post Show 11:10 p.m. Eastern right
asshole.
Here. On, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, of course, Thursday night, it's the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack. Congratulations for winning Editor's Choice of Female Interview of the Year with The Rack interviewing Natalya from the WWE and Total Divas.
Thank you, Tim. You didn't have to scream that, though.
Well, I didn't scream, I just talk loud.
Either way, it sounded very loud. But yes, tune in to The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll have the NXT TakeOver Rival Review, SmackDown, all the news you can handle. It's The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. RackRadioShow.com, and follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard and Behance.net/LindsWard. Same as the Twitter.
And, of course, now, if you really want to know what Rock's inspiration is for most of these quick hits questions, then you can tune in Saturday night and actually pay attention to them playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yes.
The wild, the wacky, the weird, the unusual happens at midnight Eastern, or as close as they can get to it, immediately following Cards Against Humanity. It's called CB Radio.
Use the hashtag Lame Rob when talking about CB Radio. He's already struck two people today. He's off to a fun and great start. You can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR on Facebook.com/CigaretteMontsonMidnight. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com. Get the merch, Blame Rob, and keep calm at CBRadioLive.com.
Every time I look at Twitter and see hashtag Blame Rob, I'm thinking, oh shit, who died this week?
That's exactly the point.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah, don't forget, everybody, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm on the Twitter machine at Flames Forums, FlamesForums. And do me a favor and follow my friend, not Bruce Campbell. His Twitter handle is at NotEvilAsh. Give him a follow and make him feel good because he needs people to follow him. See what else. You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can also catch Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you got it right.
Yay! I get a cookie.
No.
Or another cookie.
No.
Fuck you, they're my cookies. I'll have one if I want. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or any of that nonsense, you can email media at wildtalkradio.com. You can email admin at wildtalkradio.com. What else?
You can catch us on TuneIn Radio when you're listening live on the go. Anywhere, get the app. It's free. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. And on iTunes and Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network for the podcast.
Yeah, you know, being able to listen to us on the go is absolutely awesome. TuneIn Radio is absolutely fantastic. When you're not listening to any of the Wild Talk Radio shows on TuneIn, you can listen to your favorite radio station from your hometown if you want. It's awesome. It's great. I don't think there's anything not on TuneIn except for stuff that should be. I don't know. What else? Mace should plug stuff.
Yes, Mace can plug stuff, such as follow me on the Twitter machines, at the Mace thing. Don't bother with Facebook, because I'm an asshole, and supposedly I am.
As opposed to everything else.
Pretty much. You know, I'm a misandrist, I'm an evil, misogynistic bastard.
So, basically, you play video games.
Pretty much. I am everything that the world despises and hates, so whatever, I don't give a fuck. Fuck's not given zero.
If you're a bit of a geek, you definitely want to follow Mace on Twitter because he posts geek shit every now and then.
Yeah, I post geek shit. I yell at people. I get angry and say stupid shit. If you want to actually see me being somewhat professional, you go over to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I eventually do reviews when I have something to review, such as the recently released expansion to Saints Row 4, Get Out of Hell, which I absolutely nailed to the wall and decided to beat the living shit out of it like Rocky does to a piece of meat. Other than that, I've got nothing good that's it. I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to go play Kingdom Hearts. Bye.
There you go. Omega?
Jeez, all you people with your YouTube pages now. I started it.
I don't have one.
Hey, it could be worse. I could start a Patreon.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Hey, I could start playing with Legos. That'll really piss you off.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so offended by people playing with Legos. My stuff, as said, can be found over on YouTube at TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the Twitter handle. If it's not on YouTube, it's on tjomega.org. And if you're on Facebook, it's TJ Reviews, where I'm usually a little bit more candid about things like my death plague.
Right, and you sure you're not offended with people playing with Legos when it comes to 50 Shades of Grey?
I've seen worse. We've seen so much worse.
Repeatedly.
Oh, by the way, if you want to know more about CB Radio, we talked about teddylove.net. If you want to really be creeped out.
That's creepy. That is very creepy. Hey, look at me. Congratulate me, everybody, because I won on the Lotto 649 last night.
Win what, $2?
$50 and a free play for the next draw.
Yay! Don't spend
Johnny, it. Johnny's food
yeah,
on me.
It's not enough to bring me over there, sir.
Well, no. You just quit hoping I won enough to bring you over here. What makes you think I'm going to bring you over here?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping $20 million this Saturday night.
Yeah. Say bye. Say bye. Yeah.
Bye. Follow us on Twitter. Bitches. WildTalkRadio.com.